They get the ball to start the second half. So there's this hold, the snap, the kick. And it's good. And with 39 seconds again, it's Wheaton 21, Carroll 6. Let's take a quick break for station identification. Calvin, if you would, please.
You're listening to The Shaw. WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266DR Waukesha. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Hey, welcome back to Schneider Stadium. And as the clouds get a lot grayer, so does the outlook for the Pios, trailing 21-6 here to Wheaton. A lot of football left to be played here.
And
Pioneers do have one last shot here, even though it's only 39 seconds left. And what we've seen at this level is a lot of teams, even though they're trailing, going into victory formation and taking the ball in for the half. I would hope to think that with receivers like we have that Coach Buda would like to at least try to go long on one or two plays here.
I get it,
though, that Wheaton has two timeouts left, and they could get the ball in good field position again. But let's just see what Keon Miller can do with this kickoff return, assuming that they kick it that far. And that's our man, number Josh Winnett, number 37, from Milton, Georgia. There's a kick. Miller gets it at the five. He's going to take it up the middle. No going to his left now, following some blocking. Oh, he's got a hole, but tripped up right at the 25. Looked like he was going to have some yardage, but a great leg tackle there by Ryan Miller, shoestring tackle. Ryan Miller from Carmel, Indiana. And, so it's first and 10 for the Pios at their own 30. 33 seconds remain, and so let's see how we line up here. And looks almost like a victory formation here. Twins right, single receiver left, tight formation, tight end wing right. Coleman on Raby's right. It's going to go to Coleman up the middle. He pulls it out, and he's going to get about a four-yard gain there to the 29. And Pyles hustled to the line here, but you figured you'd maybe want to try a timeout here. But, no, I think Pyles will be happy to just pack it in for the half, trailing 21-6. Nope, they're going to get a snap off here. No, he's going to go to Coleman again up the middle. And Coleman has first down yardage here. Call timeout, please. Yep, they're going to call timeout.
They listen to you, Don.
And Carroll will, yeah. I mean, the clock stops automatically on a first down for a moment. But oh, now it's going to wind again. Call timeout, please, guys. Nope, that'll do it for the first half. So a tough first half for the Piles, although there were a few bright moments. Few positive drives, but Wheaton so far triumphant here as we go into the first half. Number 13th ranked Wheaton leading our Pios 21-6. And we're going to take a break here, a one-minute break here on the Pioneer Football Radio Network. Calvin, if you would, please.
The Green Bay Packers call Lambeau Field home, but did you know the stadium has a history all its own? It started with where to build it. Residents on both sides of the city wanted it. Officials argued there had to be room for growth. Eventually, farmland was purchased, but in Ashwaubenon. The bargaining continued, and in 1956, the land was annexed to Green Bay. Green Bay City Stadium became a reality the following year and was renamed in honor of team co-founder and coach Curly Lambeau in 1965. For Civic Media, I'm Terry.
If you've been searching for authentic, made-from-scratch American Italian cuisine, visit Mia's of Waukesha. Mia's skilled chefs craft every dish with freshness and love, bringing you the true essence and flavor of American Italian classics. Open daily Wednesday through Sunday at 800 Clinton Street in Waukesha. Walk in or call to reserve a table. 262-547-6503. That's 262-547-6503. Or log on miasofwaukesha.com.
We're back for halftime at Schneider Stadium, and And Don, we still have a half of football, but
we
not
sure do.
Looking
but
good.
There's a bit of a deficit. Pioneers trailing 21-6, and Wheaton gets the ball to start the second half. And so, yeah, you know, our Pios are going to have to screw their helmets on pretty tight and come out. You know, and we're getting this first half total first half stats here. We know the lead 21-6. Wheaton has 11 first downs to 7 first downs by Carroll. Rushing yardage, 69 yards versus 103 by Carroll, so we lead in that category. Passing yards, though, is a big factor with Wheaton at 103. Pyle's only at 39. Thorson's 9 for 12 with no interceptions. Raby 5 for 9 with no interceptions. And total offensive plays and yards, 29 plays for Wheaton for 172 yards. 28 plays for Carroll, 142 yards. So statistically in some of those categories, there's a good amount of parity. It's just Carroll, just like in the Augie game, not able to convert in the red zone, although they got 2 field goals. You imagine if it was a 21-14 halftime score. A really hard kick, a low kick by Laurent, hits a guy in the front line, and trailing 7-6, Wheaton's got great position at their own 50, and certainly that hurt. The first score of the game that the Piles gave up started on a first down play when Raby was sacked, or, you know, a fumble was caused, and Wheaton took over at the Pio 35, and 3 plays later, they hit Titherington for his first of 2 touchdowns. And then probably the toughest break for the Pioneers was on a 2nd and 11, a deep pass to Austin Eichstad that looked like an obvious interference call was somehow a no call. And the only thing I could justify from the ref is that the throw by design was a little underthrown because you wanted Eichstad to come back for it. And the cornerback just, you know, made contact before Eichstad had a chance to catch the ball. And he didn't turn around to try to make a play. And so I'm still trying to understand, you know, why that call didn't go Pio's way. And I will say, too, a new rule that I learned about, which is interesting to me, was that trailing 7-0 and a 3-and-out for the Wheaton defense, they then blocked Noah Streveler punt, and before it goes out, one of the special teams guys hustles and punches it back, slaps it back in where his teammates recovered it for what you thought would have been a 13-0, extra point 14-0 game. But the refs conference, and I guess the rule in the book, is that that's a penalty. You can't do that. And so that turned out to be a 5-yard penalty and a first down for the Piles. Or it might have even been more yardage than that, because I don't believe that that was like a 4th and 5 situation or 4th and close. I thought it was 4th and long. So,
yeah.
I think it was treated like a personal foul. And so, again, I'm not going to fault the officials on that. They're following the rules. But whoever created that rule, you know, you're basically punishing special teams players for hustle.
Right. Right.
You know, it wasn't like it was a cheap shot. It wasn't like they were holding. It was between the player and a loose ball. Right?
Right.
So
right.
That was a hard one to swallow, whether you're a Pio fan or not. But we certainly were grateful for the break. And then, so the numbers look pretty close here.
Well, you know, and you can't blame officiating. You know, it's not always right to do that. Carroll and, you know, these teams have to play their game.
Exactly. They're not the final outcome, but at least in a situation like that.
Yeah.
You expect the right call to be made.
Right, exactly. So, as we listen to the Carroll University marching band here under the direction of Mr.
We're going to stick the mic
Hoffler.
Out here so you can hear better.
This is the karaoke show. The Blaze Dance team also performing at halftime.
Do you recognize the song, Greg?
I don't. Oh, yes, I do. But don't make me sing it.
It's Fill Me Up Buttercup.
Yeah.
Fill Me Up Buttercup. And it sounds like we can hear pretty well here.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you look at some of the other numbers for Carroll, and I want to just point out that Nick Legnoli in his second week back, 20 yards on 6 carries for a 4.8-yard rushing average. His biggest gain. And I'm sorry, 32 yards on 6 carries, his biggest
gain was a 20-yard gainer. Mikey Coleman, 66 yards on 8 carries, 8.2 yards per carry, and a 43-yard run, which was huge, which set up that second field goal. And right after that run, they took Mikey out and, you know, probably rest him, and I'm surprised he didn't. I guess he did come back in later in that drive. But
yeah.
And then you got Jackson Case. Has 2 carries for 7 yards, 3.3-yard average. And then Josh Raby, 3 carries for 9 yards. One was a 7-yard loss. So, then receiving yards, yeah. Eichstad is 21 yards on 4 catch. Let's see, 4 passes or 2 attempts, 4 catches. And Mikey Coleman has 17 yards on 2 catches. So, yeah, we haven't called Josh Hill's name yet today, and he had that big game last week, and so you're hoping they can free him up. Tight end, same thing. Have not been either they're being well covered, and again, you got to credit this Wheaton defense. They have just been they've been all over the place.
Yeah, yeah. So. You know, and I wanna bring up that as we listen to Sweet Caroline. Good times never felt so good, so yeah. Good, so good. You know, it's Wheaton has always been a team, a force to be reckoned with.
Yeah.
You know, obviously with recruitment, you know, D3, all schools, you know, have the same advantages.
Sure.
But Carroll being just outside of Milwaukee, Wheaton being even closer, I would say, to, you know, the Chicago area, you know.
Right.
Being able to go right into the city.
Yeah.
You know, I would say Wheaton has a bit of a recruitment advantage, which is why they might be so good. However,
they're getting players from out of state, too, as you can see some of those
names. You know, yeah, Tennessee.
Weeks comes from Michigan. And number 3, one of my favorite players there, Virgil Cannon. Oh, no, he's from Lakeville. He's from Grays Lake North. But, yeah, just great football in Chicagoland all over. So, yeah, they're able to draw well locally, even players from their own town. There's a couple different high schools there in Wheaton that they draw from.
Right.
So,
right.
Yeah. But there's, you know, you look at some of the other stats, and I've got, Virgil Cannon leads the Thunder with 7 tackles, followed by Johnny Eller with 5. Christian Bonacisti has 3. And Clayton Reeves has 3. Leading tacklers for the Pios are Will Campbell with 8 tackles, Damon Loker with 5, A.J. Moore with 3, and Luke Brosig, today's starter, with 3. So it's good to see Brosig, the defensive end, getting the nod today and earning that that privilege, shall we say, or right.
So, yeah.
And,
that's definitely a good sign of a sign of good things to come.
Sure is. So what song are they playing now for the karaoke?
This is Shut Up and Dance by
Shut Up and Dance. Oh,
Walk
the
Moon.
There you go. Wow.
Yeah, I'm sure Calvin knows this one and is probably
singing
it to himself. Back
maybe this
in
will
the
cheer Johnny
there.
Up back home as he's recovering from the flu.
We want to wish well wishes to our colleague Johnny Watermelon.
Yeah. So.
And
if you have to confirm if it's just a. Garden variety flu or the brown bag flu. So we'll wait more on that. Only joking, Johnny. Hope you're continuing to feel better and appreciate all your support from at home. So Johnny's been giving us some quality control and making sure the sound is good and has texted in a couple times. So, again, very hopeful for a speedy recovery for Mr. Watermelon.
Yeah, so. Yeah. Still time for you guys to get out here if you're listening in the local area.
Yeah, take the app with you. Drive on in. We want to pack the schneid. And the good news is there's a lot of orange and blue here cheering, very happy about their team. But unfortunately, they are the orange and blue of the Thunder of Wheaton. But our Pyle faithful have not gone away, and they remain optimistic. And again, as you say, a lot of football left to be played. And if our defense can come up with some big plays here in this opening drive and get the ball back soon and get a sixer on the board, you know, I think that's going to change the outlook here.
Yeah, so are we thinking that the Pirates might spread the ball around a little bit more second half. I mean,
I think they have to.
I think you're right. They have to get the tight ends involved.
They do, yeah. And somehow. I think, too, when you look at going back to my first half stats here, Wheaton has had they've hit four different receivers to three by the Pios, and even though that's not that big of a difference, that even that one extra receiver, it shows you they're spreading the ball around, and then you got to be watching these guys, and that's what spreads the defense out when you're looking at more weapons. I will say though that the D line, the linebackers, you know, underneath coverage, if you will, the Thunder are stingy, so maybe those tight ends aren't as open as we'd like them to be, or we acknowledge them to be. I think it'd be good to see Raby use his legs more here in the second half, because I think that's what's going to open things up, I think, for the tight ends and the other receivers. And, yeah, you know, and you got to figure out how to get Josh Hill the ball. And where Wheaton was successful around some of these quick screens with some great blocking by the receivers that weren't part of the catch, freeing up some space, that's also been a big factor. So, and you know, we still have about 8 minutes before kickoff, so we'll take a quick break here. Let's get another one-minute break here on the Pioneer Football Radio Network. At halftime, the Pios trail 13th-ranked Thunder of Wheaton College, 21-6, but lots of action left to come here in our halftime broadcast and in the second half. So, Calvin, take it away, please, for a one-minute break.
Red Delicious, Honeycrisp, Granny Smith, if you have a favorite apple, now is the time to pick it straight from the source. Did you know Wisconsin has more than 300 apple orchards? Travel Wisconsin recently naming its favorites, including the Oneida National Apple Orchard outside Green Bay, Ferguson's Orchards in Eau Claire, and Apple Holler south of Racine. Many provide tons of family fun in the fall, too. Tire swings, lawn bowling, hay rides, and more. Apple experts suggest if you want to pick yours fresh, do it before the end of October. For Civic Media, I'm Terry.
If you've been searching for authentic, made-from-scratch American Italian cuisine, visit Mia's of Waukesha. Mia's skilled chefs craft every dish with freshness and love, bringing you the true essence and flavor of American Italian classics. Open daily Wednesday through Sunday at 800 Clinton Street in Waukesha. Walk in or call to reserve a table. 262-547-6503. That's 262-547-6503. Or log on miasofwaukesha.com.
And we welcome you back to Schneider Stadium at halftime. We see the Thunder making their long walk from the visiting locker room down Barstow before they enter Schneider Stadium. Pyle's still talking things over in the locker room. And you have some really heady conversations I would expect are going on there, Greg. What do you think if your Coach Buddha and Coach Pfeffer and the other coordinators, what are you saying to the lads here to get them pumped for the second half?
You know, I just think they need to calm down, you know,
yep,
a little bit, and because they're probably a little bit on edge. You know, they know Wheaton. They know Wheaton is one of the most well-ranked teams in the nation, and they know what they're dealing with. But they just need to calm down,
yeah,
play their game,
yeah,
you know, and as Coach Ack, I see him come through the breakfast line. I'm like, Coach, what do you tell the team, Coach Ackerman, one of the offensive coaches? And he says, I tell the guys to have fun.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
And so
still a game.
Yep, it's still a game. And
that's what makes this game so special at the D3 level. Is it's just, in a lot of ways, it's like high school. You play for the love of the game. You play,
yeah,
you play to win. You play to honor your family and your community and your teammates. And
yeah,
it's still a kid's game, you know.
Yeah, you know, Don, I was going to mention, I've been seeing a bunch of the spring sports athletes come through my breakfast line. You know, these athletes work all year round.
Yeah,
you know, they don't take breaks. They're
That's
no
for
slouches.
Sure.
So, yep. I had the baseball team come in the other day,
yep,
and they're they're looking good. And,
sure.
You know, looking at track starting soon. And, you know, the way it works is cross country kind of goes right into indoor track and then into outdoor track. And a lot of the, you know.
As a former cross country runner, I think I kind of like that idea of running indoors in winter. So.
Yeah.
Although, to take that back, though, we had some beautiful winters growing up in Western New York, and I did actually love running outside in the winter, like having that snow on the ground give you some extra cushion, and on a beautiful night where the snow's falling softly and the temperatures are just right, above 32, that makes for some beautiful evenings. But you know, it's a great one of the business gurus I know tells me that, you know, a lot of corporate recruiters and a lot of businesses, they – you know, playing a Division III sport looks very good on a resume because you are spending your time outside the classroom honing other skill sets, you know, leadership, discipline, physical training. That's something that's looked upon highly, you know, by a lot of employers. And teamwork, collaboration, and just, you know, and being that guy you can count on, or troubleshooting, or like the poor guy who got flagged. Well, I think it was a personal foul on that batting call. I think that's what they called it. For Wheaton, and I got his number here. Like, that's the kind of guy that, you know, again, if I'm a recruiter, it's like I want that kid working for me because he hustles.
Yeah,
and he makes heads-up plays. And trying to get a name for you here. Riley Howard. I think that was him. I think he's the one who got tagged with that call, if I remember the jersey. If I have that wrong, I apologize, but... you know, I thought it was a heads-up play. He could have dove for it to try to get it before it went out of bounds, but I think he would have caught it out of bounds and would have been a safety. And I guess it's probably a good coaching moment for them if you can't make – you know, now you know what the rule is. If you can't make that play, you know, take the 2 points because it still gives you a two-score lead and you get the ball back in great field position. But yeah, you know, we've seen some great individual plays here. We've seen some great blocking on both sides, primarily you know, by Wheaton. Wheaton's been the big player on the line, and I haven't done an analysis like if I've done in other games on the size of you know, their line versus ours, and it really doesn't look. They got a 324-pound left guard and a 312-pound left tackle, and
so they've got some
280-pound center. Yeah,
on their offensive guard, line,
276 and 288, and you know, our two ends, as quick as they are, they're 235 pounds. Our big guys in the middle are 275, 260, so a little more parity there. But, you know, definite size advantage, at least in the their offense versus our defense. And now if I look on the other side here, defensive end, 236, so like ours, defensive tackle, 270. Defensive tackle starting, that's 218. The guy behind him is 276. The D end is 240. So and our guys match up pretty well. You know, Joey Cole is 260. Nate Johnson is 280, probably our biggest lineman that starts. Oh, no, Lewis Corey, well, he's a backup left guard. He's 315. Trevor Pye's 295. And Jalen Pritchett, who backs him up, is 335. Kevin Whitman's 290 pounds, right tackle. So, you know, comparable on the size part, except on, I guess, their defense is a little bit bigger than our.
Right.
Or their offense is bigger than our defense.
Yeah.
In key positions. And, you know, those are the ones you look to exploit, and they have. And great running, too. You know, Giovanni Weeks, you got to give a lot of credit. And, if we can get legs and we can get Mikey Coleman in motion and Jackson Case, we can continue to pound the ball.
We may have, the way, Mikey Coleman may be coming up and joining us in that
after the game. Yeah, yeah.
That would be fun.
We're ready to start the third quarter as Jacob Laurent tees up the ball. And then we've got back for Wheaton is Caleb Titherington and Jack Allen at their 10-yard line here. Let's see what Laurent does with this kickoff. It's going to be another squib kick down the middle. And it's fielded at the 20 there by Titherington. He breaks one tackle, breaks another tackle up the middle. Breaks a third tackle. He's going to his right downfield. 45, 40. Finally pushed out of bounds at the 35 by Josh Hill, 89.
So even though we haven't called Hill's number a lot on offense, as Coach Buddha says, he plays plays in every squad except for defense. And touchdown-saving tackle there by Josh Hill. And Tithering, again, the big factor. If you're going to hand out an MVP, early indications are right now, I would say it's the 5'10", 173-pound sophomore from Matthews, North Carolina, Metrolina Christian Academy, Caleb Titherington.
Yeah.
So first and 10 for the Thunder at Pius 35, single receiver left, double tight end. It's a handoff to Weeks from the right to the left. Big hole. He breaks a tackle, breaks another one. First down yardage and finally brought down at the 15. So some missed Pio tackles. Not a good start so far as the clock runs, 14:38 and counting. Waiting for the chains to move.
Here's this.
Some substitutions being made now for the Pios. As Binkowski comes out. So single receivers both sides, tight end wing right, tailback on Thorson's left. It's going to be Weeks again up the middle and pushing forward again. Some Pioneers, wow, still squeezing through for a 6 or 7 yard gain. Piles look like they were there to meet them. But again, I got to give credit Weeks credit for not giving up and finding holes in those little scrums.
Yeah, he's a bulldozer. He's just bulldozing over the
ball. Spotted at the 10, so a 7 yard gain makes it 2nd and 3 with 13:49 remaining in the third quarter. And Wheaton looking to add to a 21-6 lead here with single receivers both sides. Now left receiver goes to motion on the right. It's handed off to Weeks on the left. And this time Will Campbell's there with help from some other piles to hold him to a 2 yard gain. So now it's 3rd and 2. For the Piles after the 1 yard stop. Looks like, is this an official? No. 3rd and 2 at the Piles 8 yard line. Single receivers both sides. We've got the I formation, so Thorson's under center now. The tight end, Ben Juska, in the fullback, Weeks behind him. You think, oh, boss fumble! And it looks like Thorson falls on, and he might have even gotten a short gain on that where the ref is sitting. So big break for the Piles as the field goal unit comes out for Wheaton. But if they get this, so now you're talking a 24-6 lead, and it's now that makes it a pretty much a three-score game. As Mateo Jess lines up, quarterback Skyler Percy, backup quarterback, the holder from Margate, Florida. 12:25 and counting. Here's the snap, the hold, the kick. And it's good. So a 12-17 in the third quarter. Wheaton increases their lead to 24-6. We shall be right back after this quick 30-second break on the Pioneer Football Radio Network. Calvin, take it away, please.
If you've been searching for authentic, made-from-scratch American-Italian cuisine, visit Mia's of Waukesha. Mia's skilled chefs craft every dish with freshness and love, bringing you the true essence and flavor of American-Italian classics. Open daily Wednesday through Sunday at 800 Clinton Street in Waukesha. Walk in or call to reserve a table. 262-547-6503. That's 262-547-6503. Or log on miasofwaukesha.com.
Okay. Hey, welcome back to Schneider Stadium. Pioneers give up a field goal in the opening drive by the Thunder, but the defense doesn't break at the end there, keeping Wheaton out of the end zone here. Johnny's texted in and he promises it's a virus that's dragging him down. He says to look for Coach Buddha to run the ball and control the clock, keeping the Thunder offense off the field.
That's Johnny. That's a good. That might be a good.
Keon Miller and Josh Hill back to receive the kick by Linnett, and this one's going into the end zone for a touchback. Good job by Miller letting it go. So the Axeman and the Pio offense will take over at their own 25, trailing 24-6. And this is it. It's put up or shut up time for our Pios here. in this big game.
You know, I do kind of like Johnny's thought, though. Let's let's run the ball. Let's, make sure they're quality runs.
Yeah. Well, and if they're successful running the ball, you get some good play action here. Mikey Coleman is a starter. We have twin receivers on both sides. Ball in the left hash here. First and 10 for the Pios, trailing 24-6. Snap. Fakes to Coleman. Raby rolls out right, looking downfield. And he's looking. He's got to throw that away as Pio receiver is well covered. So Coach Buddha going in a different direction here from what Johnny advises. But I like the call. I like if there was for Raby to get out in space more and maybe run the ball, that could have been good. But good job by the Wheaton line chasing him down and by the Wheaton secondary on the coverage. There really wasn't a Pio open there. Keon Miller was the intended receiver, but Raby just threw it out of bounds. So second and 10, 12-10 remaining. Twins right, single receiver left. Tight end wing left. Mikey on Raby's right. I see a potential blitz from the outside linebacker here. Here's a snap. Raby looks downfield to his right. Eichstad. Oh! Good throw by Raby, but well covered there by Zach Wilson. Eichstad got a hand on it, but just couldn't reel it in.
Yeah,
that was actually a good pass, but the coverage is just too good.
Well covered on almost all of his routes.
Yep. So Max Wilson, the junior for the hometown product from Wheaton, doing his job today against our premier receiver, who's been on a lot of NFL watch lists. 12:05 remaining here on this third and 10. Coach Buddha running down the field. He may be calling a timeout here. Nope. Twin packages both sides. Coleman on Raby's left. Here's a snap. Pressure on Raby. He breaks through. He's going to try to run. Oh, can't stay on his feet. He does manage to get about close to a three-yard gain, but certainly not enough for the Pios to keep moving. So Noah Streveler and the punt team will come out. So tough series for Raby and company and a big defensive stand by the Thunder, who's really taken over the momentum here and then some, or continuing the momentum, I should say, after 14 unanswered points towards the end of the first half. So that looks like 83 back for Wheaton. Here's the punt. Seth Cordohoven's going to let it go. And so good field position again for Wheaton as they take over on the 41-yard line. Streveler punted it where Cordohoven couldn't return it. Went over to the right, to the right sideline there. So it'll be first and 10 for the Harvest, for the Thunder, I mean.
Let's see a good tackle for a loss here. You know,
yeah,
the
for a big play.
Haven't been able to get much to the quarterback.
They just need a momentum-changing play here. Twins right, no receivers left. Weeks on Thorson's right. And it's going to go to Weeks from the right to the left, and he pushes forward for about 3 yards that time. As we wait to see the tackler here. Looks like a four-yard gain. I think Braden Bolt may get credit for the tackle there by the Pios. Bolt, the defensive tackle, plays the junior from Fondy, who plays behind Tim Nelson. Single receivers both sides here on this second and six, 10:53 and counting in the third quarter. Twins left, single receiver right. Weeks on Thorson's left. Flanker goes in motion now. Hands it off to Weeks, cutting it to the right, but he's met by some Pios here. Great job holding him to a short gain. Be about two there. And a couple piles. Oh, just a big scrum there. I saw 92 in there for the Pios. Riley Staub with a lot of help from some other Pios there. That was definitely a team. Third and three here. Big key play here. Twin receivers left. Tight end wing. Weeks on Thorson's left. Here's a snap. Fakes over the middle. He's got a guy. He's open, and it's caught. First down, pushed out of bounds at the 41 by Ja'Kai Bohannon, and that's Ben Bunga again. Another fun name to play with here. Bunga Bunga, you can hear some fans.
Yes.
The 6'2
yes.
junior from Brentwood, Tennessee. And ball at the 41 left hash. Clock runs, 9:41 and counting. Thunder in no hurry here with a commanding 24-6 lead. Bungo alone on the left side. A tight trips package on the right, close to the right tackle here. Weeks on Thorson's left. And fake, quick out pattern to Juska. Great tackle, open field there. Trying to get the number there. That was Elliot Miller, I think, number 16.
Pewaukee native.
Yep, Elliot the pirate. Miller. The pirate of Pewaukee. So make that second and seven. And, you know, that's been the key, I think, for this Thunder offense is these big first down yardage plays. And so if you can hold them to 3 yards. Twins right, single receiver left. Split end goes in motion and that'll become a flanker on the right. Weeks on Thorson's right. And it's going to be handoff to Weeks again. Or no, it's a different tailback. But he spins through a tackle. It should have been a tackle for a 1 or 2 yard gain. So tough break there. Henry Brown, the 5'10 senior from Waddell, Arizona, Valley Vista High School, now sets up a 3rd and 2, another key play for the Pio defense. And I forgot, I didn't catch the tackler there, but they had him. They had Henry Brown for a short yardage gain, and he spinned his way out of the tackle and got 3 or 4 more. So another key play here in 3rd and 2 at 8-12. Twins right, no receivers left. Weeks on Thorson's right. It's going to go to Weeks here up the middle, and he's stopped by a host of piles there. About a
good
half
stop.
Yard gain, making
good
it 4th
stop.
And 1. Tim Nelson with a big stop on that, and he had some help. So 4th and 1, and yep, the field goal unit's going to come in here, maybe go for a record here. As the field goal defense comes out for the Pios. You still got to watch the fake here with like 4th and... Just really less than a yard here. They're going to punt it, interestingly enough. And why not? Pin the Pios deep. So that's Nate Toffolon out. And Sammy Muth is back, or maybe that is Kia Miller. A flag is down. Let's see what the call is here. Delay of game. Excuse me, delay of game with an M. So they're going to move the Thunder back, and it's probably to their advantage because they're looking to pin the Pios deep somewhere within the 5. Got to believe they're going for a coffin corner here. And the game clock is being reset to 7:10 here. It was currently sitting at 6:56, so that helps the Pios, I think. Any seconds
time
you can get.
Time has become a factor, Don.
It really has, yep. That's Sammy Muth back for our Pios here. And snap is good, hold is good. It's a short punt. It's near the corner. Fair catch being called here by Muth. He drops the ball! It's near the end zone! It's recovered by the Thunder at the 1 yard line. You can't advance a muff, fortunately for the Pios. It looked like he might have caught it in the end zone, but the ref's saying he's caught it at the 1. So things go from bad to worse for the Pios after a big stop, forcing a punt. And now you understand why Wheaton punted that. I think if you're Sammy Muth, you got to let that ball go. There's no advantage to a fair catch
right,
at the 3-yard line.
Right.
So a mental mistake there. I really think you got to let that ball go and take your chances. So, Pio defense back on the field here in a really tough situation here. It is a shotgun formation, single receiver right. Weeks on Thorson's right. He'll probably get the call here. Nope, actually yep, it's going to Weeks up the middle. He pushes in, but Piles with a good stand here, stopping him for no gain. Wow. Will Campbell in on that. They had Bonga in motion. There was actually a Twins right. I missed him in the obstruction here. The Tiger Stadium instruction here in the press booth. That was Bonga move. So now we have split receiver or single receivers both sides. Tetherington on the left, Bonga on the right. Weeks on Thorson's right here. Now a little movement there. Yep. Tetherington goes about. No, they're going to go to the corner to Tetherington. A wide pass from Thorson, thankfully. Tetherington got a hand on it, but that was a really hard pass. If he had floated that a little, Tetherington might have been able to get under it and might have had enough room, but He did have good coverage there by Elliott Miller. So it's now third and one, another key play for the Pio defense. So now we got twin receivers right, single receiver left. Weeks on Thorson's right. And now it's quarterback's going to try to do a keeper here. Go for the end zone. He's got a guy. Touchdown, Tetherington. Under heavy pressure there. Thorson got hit hard by Campbell and Loker, but Tetherington, I forgot which side of the field he was lined up on, but either curled in and came back or came from the right to the left. But either way, it's now 30 points for Wheaton, looking to make it 31 here as Mateo Jesch comes with the extra point. Skyler Piercy holding for the Thunder. The snap, the hold is all good, and so is the extra point. So 6:18 remaining. It's now a 31-6 lead in favor of number 13th ranked Thunder of Wheaton College. When we come back to the break, Piles will get the ball. So stick around. Calvin, if you could give us a 30-second, that'd be great. Thank you, sir.
The Green Bay Packers call Lambeau Field home, but did you know the stadium has a history all its own? It started with where to build it. Residents on both sides of the city wanted it. Officials argued there had to be room for growth. Eventually, farmland was purchased, but in Ashwaubenon. The bargaining continued, and in 1956, the land was annexed to Green Bay. Green Bay City Stadium became a reality the following year and was renamed in honor of team co-founder and coach Curly Lambeau in 1965. For Civic Media, I'm Terry.
Welcome back to Schneider Stadium. Don Brown with Triple G. Greg Wansnyder here giving you all the action. And Greg, unfortunately, it's been all Wheaton in the second half.
Yeah, kind of demoralizing for Carroll.
It really is. You know, defense had a couple good stand, had a good stand there, but a muffed punt at the three that probably should have just been left alone gave Wheaton first and goal at the one. Credit to the Piles. They forced them all the way to third and one, but the third touchdown for Tetherington as the kick goes deep. Miller will let it go into the end zone, so a good touchback. So it's a good kick there by Linnett.
Miller kind of learning his lesson from before.
Yep.
Maybe he won't be so quick to run it out next time.
Well, that wasn't, it was Sammy Muth who muffed the punt.
Oh, Sammy Muth,
yeah. But Miller's, yeah. Miller's doing his job back there. He's letting the deep ones go. Trips right. Coleman on Raby's right. No receivers left here. First and 10. 6:18 remaining. It's a handoff to Coleman going left there. And not much there to go. A swarm of Thunder there, which include 34 and 42. So include Johnny Eller. We've been calling his name a lot. And Caleb McClung.
Is it a swarm or a storm of Thunder?
That's right. I still think they should be called the Harvest because they're named Wheaton, but that's just me. But it is a one-yard gain with 5:50 and counting in the third quarter. Ball on the left hash here at the 26-yard line. Twins left, single receiver right. Coleman on Raby's right. Double tight end right. A tight end wing. That's Trevor Hancock standing up, getting the call from the sideline. Raby awaits the snap. Here it is. Gives to Coleman up the middle again. And Coleman, breaks a tackle, and I think he's got first down yardage here. Depends on where they spot it. It might be a little short. No, the chains are starting to move. So Coleman with a big run up the middle, breaking a tackle at the line and skipping forward. No, they're keeping the chains there. They're going to call it second and short. And so, again, Carroll ain't getting jobbed on these spots. I thought Coleman was in midair when he stretched that ball. So as it is, it's third and short here. 5:04 and counting. Pio's training Wheaton 31-6. And again, something's got to happen in this drive here. Raby in the shotgun here. Twins right. Coleman has left. Up, flag down. Someone moved first. And Thunder D pointing towards Carroll, moving early. So make that third and six now. A false start. Who did they call that in the center, they said?
I didn't catch it, sorry.
Yeah.
It's hard to hear the refs in the...
The good news is the clock runs, 4:50 and counting. And now it's a third and six. Still manageable, but you're still surprised that Coleman didn't get the first down yardage there, was not awarded it. Twins right, double tight end left, Coleman on Raby's right. Here's the snap. Raby goes deep, down to Eichstad. Oh, broken up beautifully there. Eichstad went up for it. It looked like he had his hands on it. But number one, Riley Schwartz, knocks it away. All the way from the desert in Las Vegas, a big. So
way for Raby to keep trying with Eichstad.
Yeah, I like that, but the thing is, I think you need 6 yards. Like, how about you have Eichstad come back for button hook instead? I'd rather see that, I think. But
yeah.
Anyways, it's Seth Kortenhoven back. A long punt. It's going to go past Kortenhoven. He's going to let it go. And boy, what a great punt by Streveler all the way at the 16-yard line. So big play by Streveler, moving the field or flipping the script, at least, on the field advantage. 4:16 is your time remaining here in the third quarter. 2:46 is your time on the day clock. And really not much to cheer about for our Pios here in the more than halfway through the third quarter.
You know what I'm thinking about, Don? I'm thinking about going to Mia's after the game. And
not a bad idea.
Good Italian food.
Weeks is lined up on the left of Thorson. Twins left, no receivers right. And it's going to go Weeks running from his right to his left. Good blocking up front. He's got first down yardage. We're finally being brought down by Will Campbell and Jim Clem. So that goes all the way to the 30, a 14-yard gain there by Weeks, earning his keep here. So 3:57 and counting. We got Twins left, single receiver right. Now flanker moves closer to the line in a wing position. Weeks on the left of Thorson here. High snap, but it's handed off to Weeks, pushing forward, got about 5 yards. Finally pushed back there. Jim Clement on that. But what do we got here? 39 for the Pios on that tackle as well. Braden Curtin on that tackle, the sophomore. So make that second and five at the 35, 3:15 and counting for the Herd. Tight receiver formations, close to line, single receivers. Actually, Twins right, single receiver left. Kind of a tight end right wing. Weeks on the left of Thorson. Here's a snap. Thorson in pass mode. He's going deep. He's got a guy. It's caught. Bonga with a big catch. Finally brought down at about the 40, 45 as Roby spotted. So Wheaton moving the chains again. Clock stops momentarily. Now it's back on again. 2:48 and counting here in the third quarter. And Wheaton now coasting. Happy to milk the clock here. Really not much the Carroll defense has been able to do now on this drive. And you got to believe they've been tired after 2-3 and outs from the Pio offense. So now Wheaton lines up. Single receiver right. Tight end right. Weeks on Thorson's left. Snap. Fakes a handoff. He's looking downfield again. He's going deep. He's got Bunga. It's caught at the 10. And he's pushing his way into the end zone. A touchdown for Wheaton. Make that a 45-yarder. So Bunga caught it at the 10. It was a really soft coverage there by A.J. Moore. And Bunga took advantage of the wide-open field that he had and ran to the left of where Bunga was and dove in for another touchdown, making it 37-6 here with 2:10 remaining as Mateo Josh comes in to try to make it 38. P. Piercy holding again. There's a snap and the hold, and it's good. So a 2:10 remaining in the third quarter. Make that Wheaton 38 and the Pios of Carroll 6. We'll be right back on the Pioneer Football Radio Network after these messages. Calvin, take it away, please.
Red Delicious, Honeycrisp, Granny Smith. If you have a favorite apple, now is the time to pick it straight from the source. Did you know Wisconsin has more than 300 apple orchards? Travel Wisconsin recently naming its favorites, including the Oneida National Apple Orchard outside Green Bay, Ferguson's Orchards in Eau Claire, and Apple Holler south of Racine. Many provide tons of family fun in the fall, too. Tire swings, lawn bowling, hay rides, and more. Apple experts suggest if you want to pick yours fresh, do it before the end of October. For Civic Media, I'm Terry.
Well, the Pioneers may wish they were picking apples right now, but instead we've got a football game here, Don.
On this cloudy October afternoon, started the morning out with beautiful sunshine, then right around that game time, the clouds came and so did the thunder, if you will, of Wheaton, really putting the hurt wagon here in our beloved Pios, leading 38-6 with 2:10 remaining in the third quarter.
Josh
Winnett kicking off to Kian Miller.
The bright side to me is that these players are getting experience.
Yeah, Miller picks it up at the one, and brought down hard beautifully.
Anyway,
number 41, Luke Torti. Getting his name mentioned from Carlsbad, California. Carson Chow also had Miller by the legs there. So,
Coach Buda, I know, has talked to his team about working through adversity.
Yeah.
You know? And you will face adversity in life. And so this is
one of those days, yeah.
One of those days.
Yeah. And, this is a program on the rise or rebuilding and, two winning seasons in a row. And they can still move the needle, at least in the record. Trips right, a quick pass. Oh, knocked away beautifully. They're going for Kian Miller. And, it was a little off to the right, but there was also great coverage there by number 34. No, I think that was 43, Dimitri Cannon. So, good diagnosis by the Wheaton defense. Jackson Case in the game now on Raby's left. Twin receivers both sides. Ball in the right hash here. Second and 10. 2:02 remaining in the third quarter. Raby under some pressure. Quick flip. Oh! Case can't pick up the shovel pass, so it's going to be automatically incomplete. It was a forward pass, thankfully. But I like the idea there by Raby. He was under heavy rush. He was starting to run out, and then he flipped it to Case, and if he catches that, I think he's going to have some positive yardage there. But just, again, communication becomes an issue here for the Pios. And I'm not saying they're throwing the playbook away, but they're maybe trying to innovate here or try to think of something new here. Trips left, single receiver right. Case on Raby's right here and a 3rd and 10 here. 1:56 remaining in the third quarter. You see a lot of movement here on the Carroll sideline. Here's a snap. Here comes a blitz. Raby in trouble. Really nowhere to go. Raby's going to get sacked here at the 8. That was number 34. We've called his name a lot today. Johnny Eller, the junior from Knoxville, Tennessee. So it's time for Noah Streveler again and the punt team. And another 3-and-out for the Pio offense.
That's Ravy's second or third sack today, Don.
That might be four, yeah. It's four. I know there was two in the first half.
Yeah.
But it's just, it's been tough for the Pios, no doubt. And again, this Thunder defense has come to dance. As their receiver back here, looks like number 84, a new return guy. Let's get his name and number if we can. Good snap. It's a shorter punt. It's fielded at the 41. Breaks one tackle now. Now switches to the left. He's got some room. Cuts it in. Tripped down beautifully. Thornburg. Travis Thornburg with the big tackle. And that was Breck Peacock, the freshman from Wayne, Illinois, Wheaton Academy. So another local boy does well for the Thunder.
giving Wheaton a good field position again at the pile 34. As Thorson and company come out for the Thunder. Twins left, tight end wing left. Now he goes back to the left here. Weeks on Thorson's right. 57 seconds left. Quick pass out to the flat. He's got his guy. Bongan. There were two D-backs out there covering, but it didn't look like real heavy coverage. It was a good route and a quick pass, so I give Bunga and Thorson a lot of credit for that execution. And, you know, Greg, those are some of the things you like to see Raby and company try to pull off here, just some shorter yardage plays.
Yeah.
Nickel and diming. And but, again, this Wheaton defense doesn't really allow much.
Yeah.
So first and 10, ball at the 22 of the piles, 34 seconds left in the third quarter. And Thorson looks back to his right and underneath. And I think that might be Weeks. No, that's Titherington. He's finding ways to get open all over the field. This time he was underneath coverage here. And clock stops. There's a timeout called by Wheaton, interestingly enough. With 22 seconds. An interesting timeout leading 38-6 with 22 seconds left in the third quarter. Maybe they just like the side of the field better. Or it just could be a good coaching moment for Wheaton. That's, you know, obviously looking to maybe make the Isthmus Bowl or playoffs. I forget how that's configured.
Mm-hmm.
But at least it gives Carroll's defense a rest here for a moment and talk things over. And while we do that, let's take a moment for station identification here on the Pioneer Football Radio Network. Calvin, if you would, please.
You're listening to The Shaw. WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Okay, we're almost ready for live action here as the Pio defense comes out in the field. It's second and six for Wheaton. And you got two running backs here on either side of Thorson. Twins right, single receiver left. Here's a snap. He fakes the handoff. He's looking to his right. He's got a guy. Oh, broken down beautifully by Jake Binkowski. Titherington was all alone at the goal line there for the moment, and Binkowski came at the last second to knock it away. That actually was Jagger Vine. I stand corrected. No, that was Binkowski. Excuse me. Vine is in the game. Binkowski says, so great to see him back in after getting injured in the North Park game in the first half.
Yeah.
He was definitely a missing link for the Pio defense. So third and six, another key play for the Pio defense. 18 seconds left in the quarter. A 38-6 Wheaton lead. Trips right, single receiver left. Weeks on Thorson's right. Now Weeks goes in motion to the right. Empty backfield now for Thorson. Here's a snap. Looks to his left. Now flags are down. Looks like illegal procedure from Wheaton, thankfully. Yep, an illegal shift. Number 77 gets flagged for it. That's Aiden Kingsbury, the junior from Roseville, Minnesota. So they put 2 seconds back on the clock, so it's 18 seconds. And so make that third and 11 here a rare situation for Wheaton in this game so far. Haven't been behind the sticks very much. Except for that one sack we had in the first half. So Twins left, lined up in a line. Single receiver right. Weeks on Thorson's right. Here comes a snap. Fakes to Weeks. Goes downfield. Got a guy caught. Touchdown. Wow, there the coverage was there and everything. And the way Thorson floated, he thought it had been knocked down. But he led Titherington. He ran to it and caught it beautifully. Make that four touchdowns for Caleb Titherington. The 5'10", 173-pound sophomore from Matthews, North Carolina, Metrolina Christian High School. As we see Mateo Jesh ready to put on what could be the 45th point. Snap, hold. It's all good, so 13 seconds left. Make that Wheaton 45 and Carroll 6. And while we wait the kickoff, we'll take another quick break here on the Pioneer Football Radio Network. Calvin, take it away, please.
If you've been searching for authentic, made-from-scratch American-Italian cuisine, visit Mia's of Waukesha. Mia's skilled chefs craft every dish with freshness and love, bringing you the true essence and flavor of American-Italian classics. Open daily Wednesday through Sunday at 800 Clinton Street in Waukesha. Walk in or call to reserve a table. 262-547-6503. That's 262-547-6503.